this is Ruin Willow, and you are listening to the with Ruin Willow podcast. I'm excited you're here. As always, I love, love, love to talk to all of you, give you some good juicy stuff to listen to and to learn about and things about all related to sexuality. Whether we are talking about teaching about sexual health and sexuality, or if we're talking about fantasizing and erotica. So today, I have an amazing interview. I am so excited you are all here today. I am just like ecstatic to talk to this woman. She is just amazing. All the things she's done, wait till you hear it all. She's just fantastic. I'm just so excited. Okay. Her name is Tabitha Rain. She is an erotica author, a sex blogger, and artist. She invented the award-winning vibrator, the Ruby Glow. She does sex ed. She's an orgasm fan. Hey, me too. And she's an editor at Anna Frolic Me magazine. And we are so lucky because she does audio work and she's going to read an excerpt for us. Welcome, Tabitha. I'm so excited to hear your excerpt.
Thank you so much for having me, Ruin. I'm looking forward to talking afterwards as well.
Yes. So start anytime you're ready. We want to hear what you're about.
This is from my collection of stories called Drenched. This is called I Want My Words to Make You Want. That is my kink. What I love most in the world is to get you wet, or hard, or both, just by using my words. I'm sitting here in front of the keys, feeling that welling in the pit of my cunt, that small rising, that gentle hint of an almost smile on a potential lover's lips as you catch their eye across the bar. You know the feeling. The intake of breath before the gasp. That one. I let my fingers roam, imagining all the ways the letters could unfurl and line up again, twisting tendrils of lust through your eyes and ears down to your hot sex. Yes, it's that moment I love. The moment where simply consuming the words in front of you suddenly isn't enough and you have to reach down, take control and fuck yourself. Because in this moment, that's all there is. You glance to the side, checking no one's watching, even though you're alone. Your gaze flicks to the webcam, a prickle of paranoia that somebody somewhere might be recording your every move. You shift in your seat, straining against the fabric of your underwear, heat growing, building, pushing all other thoughts aside until all you can do is reach in and find the molten lava of your need. Fingers sink into your cunt, fists wrap around your cock, thrusting, pummeling, fucking, licking, dicks, cunts, cocks, arseholes are all yours to plunder and use until at last your peripheral vision shrinks, sliding you into darkness as your eyelids flutter shut. You hear a sound. It's guttural, breathy. Yours? Yes. You're falling out and in and through yourself on a different plane of fuck. It's divine. You're flying over the precipice and at once, all at once, bang, you fall. You fall into the sweet oblivion of orgasm. You fall again, back into yourself, eyes screwed shut, jaw clenched and all the sinews and muscles twitching and spasming with the sweet relief of a hot, hard, shuddering climax. You keep your eyes closed a little longer as you uncurl yourself, unwrap your soul from your sex and notice the room around you. Sinking back into the place you began, you notice your body, still trembling but satisfied and wrung out. Fists unclench, legs release, head tips, and your back. Eyes flicker open, getting used to the glow of the screen, where my words still throb, calling your name, beckoning you again into their world of fuck. Yes, I want my words to make you want.
Oh, that was delicious. Loved it. It was fabulous. I sat here and I closed my eyes and I imagined it. It was great. I love that.
Thank you.
Very steamy, hot, and fun. It's like was like a little ride, a little brain ride.
A brain ride. Yes, that's what I'm going to say. I like to give you a brain ride.
Yes, I love that. That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for reading that. That was awesome. So that was from a collection of short stories, you said?
Yes. So that's called Drenched. It's out in audiobook now as well. So that came out. The audiobook came out this year and the collection came out last year. It was mainly I wanted to pull together lots of my short stories that were all around the web and pull them into one place to make it a bit easier for people to find them.
That's perfect. And I think it's great to have it in multiple forms because people can listen or they could read whatever they like. And, you know, it's really such a different experience to listen to an audiobook than it is to read. Just the same thing as, you know, watching a movie and reading a book. They're like totally different experiences.
Oh, that's wonderful. The first time that I listened to audio erotica, it was amazing because your focus can be completely on the thing that you're doing at the time because it's just going straight into your brain, into your visual imagination. And so your hands are free, your body's free, your mouth's free, everything's free to act on the feelings that the stories are eliciting. So that's what I really love, because sometimes when you're reading, you know, you're concentrating on looking at the book and holding the book or the e-reader. And if you're watching a visual erotica or porn, your attention is on the screen, whereas if it's been injected straight down your ear holes.
yeah, that is so true. It's like you can immerse yourself in it more. It's just like easier. It's an experience and you can close your eyes and still get all this input and you don't have to read, like you said, or use your eyes. And I think your imagination can go much crazier too. If you can just sit there and close your eyes and listen, I mean, wow.
Completely agree. It's really been quite revolutionary for me to sit and listen to audio erotica in particular. The other sorts of audio books and podcasts, you know, I enjoy them, but I don't get the same body participation, if you like, unless it's with the erotica. I love listening to it. I really do. I think it's wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. So I want to mention where you are. So you're on Twitter at Tabitha Erotica and Instagram as Tabitha Rain.
Yes, you'd think I would be sensible enough to get the same handles. But at the time when I opened that Instagram account, they're very funny about erotic words and like sex. Mm-hmm. And even the word pleasure has to be censored a little bit. So I just went for my name. But I did take Tabitha Erotica as well. And just as a sign marker to Tabitha Rain, because you know, and people might be looking for me, and then it's one handle is like really handy across the board. But unfortunately, I didn't manage to do that.
Yeah, if we were all had the foresight to do such things, right?
I know, right?
But you're also on Facebook and Google+ and Goodreads and Pinterest, I saw, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think Google+, I've not been on there. I think that maybe shut down, did it? And Facebook.
I don't know. Yeah.
Facebook, I'm trying to get a bit more active with. I recently wrote an article on, you know, social media and being in the adult pleasure industries and how it's quite difficult. Like, you can't buy advertising really on it.
Yes, I know.
So I kind of ditched it, if you like, because I got a wee bit fed up of always being told that I was being naughty.
Right. Oh, I know. Yep.
It's so puritanical, honestly.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I got a wee bit encouraged by the people I was interviewing. And basically what you need to do is like really have lovely active groups where you talk to people rather than buying advertising, which we all know is the thing to do. But I think, you know, after a few years of being, you know, constantly censored and told that you're going to get chucked off the platform, you do get a bit fed up and don't really visit it. But But then, you know, everyone uses it. So you have to be there at some point. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's so frustrating, especially when you put so much energy into something. Like I had my YouTube channel. I had over 50,000 listens and I had my channel for a year and a half. And suddenly they decided I wasn't good anymore and they just deleted me.
They deleted your whole channel.
Yep. And so then I tried to do it again. They deleted me again. I tried a third time. They deleted me again. Oh, so
is that with your erotica?
Yep. Yep.
Well, that's
in the podcast.
Oh no, because you can, because I'm very careful when I set everything up. I'm very careful to say it's for adults only and I tick all the boxes. And yeah, but recently I got the bad message from from YouTube as well.
Oh yeah. That's how it started for me. Mm. And what was crazy, I'm like, I have been here for a year and a half and now you don't like my content?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
mine was from back in 2016 and then I got the bad email in the summer. I'm like, what?
I think it's rigged.
It's a real shame because we are all at the mercy of these platforms at the moment.
Yes.
And they're private companies, so they can do what they like. So,
oh, exactly. And the other thing I think that happens is if people report you, they decide they just don't want to deal with you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have seen I've seen a lot of sexually explicit Instagram mm-hmm. accounts being private accounts. So you have to request to follow them and then they would have an idea of who would report them because you're the only people that can see it, the people that are in it.
That's true.
Which I guess is safeguarding because then you're going to say, look, this is not appropriate content for certain people. If you're sensitive, you won't like this. So please don't follow if that offends you. But yeah,
live and let live, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's frustrating. So there's so many things I want to talk about with you. So what do you want to talk about first? Your sex toy or your books or Anna Frolic Me? There's so many things.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I want to talk about all of them. So
okay, you choose.
We have to start somewhere.
Right, you choose.
Oh. Okay. I am really super curious how you decided to create this sex toy and the route to, I got an idea to, hey, now you can buy this.
Okay. Well, it was quite a while ago now. It was way back in actually 2014 when I was writing a lot of erotica. I've had a few stories, short stories published. I had a novella published. I was in the middle of either writing my second novel or my first novel. I can't remember. That's my dog. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I love dogs.
She's my best friend.
Oh, yes.
And Daisy, no, darling. Shush, shush, shush. And so I just really had this overwhelming feeling that if I could just write, I mean, because I'm sure you'll find one of the perks and benefits of writing erotica is it's quite a turn on. I'm mm-hmm. sure you might have experienced this.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So that's like a big perk of the job. And one of that, and sometimes that means you have to pause your writing and go away and sort yourself out, for want of a better phrase.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, if it's going well, if it's going really well, you know, right? You know you're doing well and you're writing something hot, if that's what's happening to you. And so what I decided was I would buy a toy that I could just pop on my chair and write on, like just, you know, grind against. And then I could actually write through the orgasm while I was having an orgasm.
Ah.
So yes, it was very much a, you know, need of mine. So it's a very, it's very selfish.
Oh, I actually love the origin of this. That is awesome.
So I designed a sex toy exactly for me.
I love that.
But I really, so I made it out of clay because I used to be a ceramicist. So I was quite lucky in terms of like, I knew how to visualize a shape and visualize it in the 3D space. So I managed to make it, I made it, and it was exactly what I wanted. I tried it out brilliant, wrote stories, brilliant, wrote through my orgasms, great fun. And then didn't really think much more of it until I showed my friend. And they went, well, surely that's selfish to be keeping that to yourself. You know, there's loads of, loads of people would want to use that. And I was like, oh, God, you might be right. And so he actually gave me seed money. He gave me £1,000 to do some research and development into would it work for other people? What would they think of it? And so that was great because that got me enough money to buy like the silicon molding and different little bullet vibrators to put inside and get a lawyer to draw up a non-disclosure agreement that I could hand out to people. And so then lucky for me, I'm in the erotica world. And so you can ask erotic authors things you wouldn't dare ask people, other people.
That's very true.
You can say, excuse me, would you mind awfully if I gave you this blue lump of silicon, if you would just have a little wiggle around on it? While
I love it.
Let me know what you think about it. And lucky for me, I had some fabulous friends who were really helped me refine the design. And, you know, because it's a design that obviously isn't going to work for everybody. It's for a full vulva massage with it's non-penetrative. Mm-hmm. That was really important to me. I was very intimidated by sex toys. I wasn't really a big sex toy enthusiast. I didn't feel like they were for me.
Okay.
Because they always seemed to be all about penetration, whereas I was more of a grinder.
Sure.
Nowadays, we've got so much to choose from. It's wonderful. Mm. But back then, it was very, here's a penis-shaped toy.
Right.
And I just wasn't into that. And so even if my testers, they didn't work for them, they could see the potential. So that was something that drove it on for me. So I would say about 50-50 is people who think it does not quite work for the way that they would want to use it. And then other people are pleasantly surprised that it does work for them. And so it's like a wee tiny double saddle, if you like. So you can rub your clit on the front and your pubic bone anchors it in place at the dip. And then there's a little bump that a hump, it's a very romantic word, but there's a hump that you then sort of presses gently against your opening of your vagina. So it gives you a little vulva massage and you can ride it as hard as you like.
That's very intriguing. And I think that's true though, of all sex toys. Not everyone's going to have the same exact experience. It's not going to get them off the same way because we all are different and we all like different amounts of clit pressure. Different amounts of like clit pressure or just different things. So no, nobody's not all going to like the same sex toy.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about yours is because I don't really think I've ever seen one like yours on the market. It's very unique.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, it was, you know, completely designed around my needs. So
I love the origin of this story. I think it's a fabulous story.
I think
you could write that story and people would be interested in, hey, how do you make a sex toy?
I know. And the other thing was, I've suffered very badly with arthritis in the past where I couldn't even do my zip up. And I remember I'd had it about for about 3 months. And I remember vividly thinking at the time, I don't know how long this is going to last. Am I going to have to be asexual now? How can I take care of my orgasmic needs if I can't apply any pressure? So this was the good thing about my Ruby Glow as well, is that I can use it. You can use it. Your pressure is applied by your own body weight. So that's quite good as well. So I was pleased about that. So it offers something a wee bit different So I was, yeah, I was pleased.
Oh, I'm totally
gonna... sure no.
Well, I'm totally have to get it and try it out, and maybe I can review it on my podcast or on my website. I mean, I just think it's really interesting because I absolutely love sex toys. I need to recount. I probably have over 30 at this time, and so I don't have any like yours. So I just need to. I must try it.
We'll definitely be able to sort that out for you.
I know what I really love what you just said, and I talked to an erotica author recently, and the talk was about how it was hard for her to reach climax because, and our whole discussion was about sex toys. And I thought, so many people are scared of sex toys, but look at what great tools we have now in the world for people who are unable to use their own hands or unable to use them in the way they want. We have this amazing array of sex toys. And aren't we lucky living in this time?
Really lucky. I mean, just literally not even 10 years ago, we didn't have these choices. Yes. And for other people who, for whatever reason, aren't, you know, for example, if you have vaginismus, you still can be a sexual person and get sexual satisfaction.
Right.
It just opens up that conversation around, you know, everyone deserves to have pleasure.
And yes,
sexual pleasure and explore their bodies. So
absolutely. And I'm going to put the link down in the podcast notes right directly to the Ruby Glow so people can check it out if they want, because it's also available on Amazon. Is it sold anywhere else or just Amazon only?
Well, I think there's basically, have a look at your usual sex toy outlet you would use. I mean, I've got a website, therubyglow.com, but I'm trying to not send overseas if possible, simply because if it's already stocked overseas, then it's a bit more environmentally friendly if you just, you know, if I'm not flying it somewhere as well.
Sure.
But of course I'll, you know, send that. I mean, that sounds like I'm not very good at business there, but yeah, I would encourage people to sort of shop more, a bit more local, but
yeah. So did you had to find a manufacturer as well, right?
Oh yeah. So I pitched it to, I looked into making it myself, and finding factories and testing and everything, but it literally is so super, super expensive, especially if you're not quite sure what you're doing and where to go and what to do. So I pitched it to the already established brand and manufacturer Roxoff. And that was quite funny because I'd been sort of going to trade fairs and, you know, popping on their stand and introducing myself. And for my prototypes, I've been using their bullets, and I think they just got a bit fed up of me and went, oh, would somebody just read this girl's proposal, for God's sake. And then I got the phone call saying, listen, we get hundreds of people thinking they've made the next big thing. And I was like, oh, you know, setting myself up to be told, look, it's no good. But then they said, but we really think that you've hit on something here, so we would like you to come down and pitch. So I went down and did a pitch for two toys, actually, and took it on as part of the range, which was brilliant for me because they're the experts and they can tweak the design. And, you know, because the thing is, if I was doing it and I had invested in all this money and getting one made, to then just tweak it a little bit would cost so much money that you were like, so I was really lucky and they tweaked it and then brought it out. And it's a battery powered toy, and they brought it out and it's had to work hard to find its place in the market and prove itself, this little toy. And of course, things that are new in the trade world take a long time to filter down into the consumer, the real world. So it takes a long time to go from concept to product to successful product, if you like. Right. And it takes a lot of trust. It took a lot of trust and foresight for Rocksoft to take it in the first place. And it takes a lot of trust for the consumer to take a chance on it, especially if it's not been seen before. So, but the great news is it has proved itself, and we've got a new toy coming out together next year as well, which is slightly different, a lot more sophisticated than the first one. And so we're looking forward to launching that next year. It's been kind of delayed a lot by COVID, and lots of things have delayed.
I know, it's kind of across the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every area of our lives delay or stop, or you know, we just kind of like a block.
Yes, exactly. So I'm hopeful that it's going to be coming out, and people aren't going to go, oh, she's not still talking about that thing, is she? It's still not out.
Well, I think it's true though. You need to market to the grinders. I mean, some people aren't grinders, and so this isn't going to be their thing. They want something inside. So you do have to find the right people that want that, you know, that's their thing. So that can be a challenge, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good news about this one is it's got a little internal stimulation going on if you require that. I'm super pleased by how it's turned out. So I just hope that it pleases everybody who tries it.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. I love that story. So now I think I want to know, what is AnnaFrolicMe.com? What's that about?
So FrolicMe is an erotic platform, and it was started by Anna Richards, who wanted to watch erotic films or pornos, which were woman-friendly at that time.
Nice.
She felt that she wanted something that was beautifully shot like a film. Why can't it look like a beautiful film where the sets are lush and the people look like they're flirting and having a lovely time? And so she started making her first films, I think it was back in 2016, and then grew the platform. And now she puts out roughly a film a week. And so they're proper explicit sex films. They're, for want of a better term, in pornos. And she also does audio erotica, and she does erotic stories that go along with the films, which is what I commission. I commission the stories and I commission the writers. We've got it's the best job ever, honestly. So we have lots and lots of writers. There's always room for more. We're always looking for new writers.
Nice.
And so we get the writers to view a film once we've discussed what sort of scenario would turn them on, and then we offer them a film to write for, and they create the backstory, whatever they want to write, and sauce it up, and then I do the editing, and we work together really closely, and then it goes onto the platform. So it's really is lovely. It's such a lovely job, and it's so nice to, as a writer, you'll know yourself, it can be quite lonely, especially you're stuck in your own world, and there's only so many imaginary people you can talk to, eh?
Right?
Yeah, they might have a great story in your head, but still, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds fabulous. I think that's great. And I love that it's focused on female pleasure and female interest. I think that's fantastic. I feel like there isn't enough of that out there. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it is for everybody, but she did make it with the female pleasure in mind. And basically it's all about the women having their orgasms.
Nice.
And there's a lot of solo sex scenes, which are really nice and just really celebratory of sex and pleasure and how it's part of being a human, and it can be wonderful. Yeah. And the other thing is, like, it feels like a safe site to be on, because there's no adverts or anything like because it's a subscription site. So,
oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you, there's no adverts, you don't get taken off into anywhere else, and you don't get adverts flashing up for films that you might not be interested in. So it's quite a good film for feeling safe around watching that sort of thing as well.
Right.
Because I know that, especially if you've not really, if you're a bit scared of porn because you've heard, oh, you know, it's really, you've heard stories about what porn might be. This is, it feels like a safe site to point people towards, if you like. Like, for example, I would have no hesitation in recommending this site to, say, my auntie, or, you know. Because it's hot. I mean, it's hot as hell. But it's just like everyone, you know everyone's getting paid. You know everyone's there consensually. You know everything's been done right. You know everyone's been treated well. So you can, because I think particularly women, like we do have this streak in us that are, like, we worry about people, don't we?
Yes,
so
yes.
I think that to take that away, then you can just get down to, you know, your desires or your arousal, rather than maybe worrying about anything. So that's one of the reasons I love it. Like, I wouldn't hesitate to jump on and tell anyone about it.
Well, that's great. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, it doesn't take much to pull us out of that situation and all of a sudden turn us bad. A flicker of a bad look on a face, a pop-up of a video that we really don't like, you know, so it's nice to hear that exists, because there's not something in there. You're not going to be like, okay, what's going to pop up and bug me this time? Or is that going to, you're not going to be offended, in other words. And I love that it's portrayed that everyone is paid, and it's just a very good, very pleasant experience and a feel good experience.
Yeah, certainly is for me. I love it. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Really cool.
Yeah, seeing the new films and wondering which of my writers would like to write for it. And yeah, it's such a lovely experience as well.
Sounds wonderful. So I would like to mention that you also have a website at TabithaRain.com, and you have all of your stuff on there, right? Your sex toys, your books, all your links to social media.
Yeah, that's right. And I haven't been so busy on my blog this year, which I always feel quite guilty about. you know, and every now and then I think, oh, I must write a story for my blog. So there, I think there's a couple of stories over the past months, but not, it used to be like every week or every 2 weeks, but yeah, it's kind of, I've been recording lots of audio and things recently. So my poor little blog.
It's
had a couple of stories recently, but not too many. But I do record audio for the stories that I put on there as well. And that is also on another site called Girl on the Net. I don't know.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, now that's Girl on the Net. She's another wonderful erotic platform as well. So she does, she's got a whole audio erotica platform, and her blog is very good, and her erotic content is amazing as well. So there's so much good stuff out there just now for exploring your erotic side. It's fantastic.
That's great. I love to be able to introduce such things to people that haven't heard of it before. Like, I haven't heard of these things. So I'm just really excited to talk about that, put the links down in my podcast so people can find that and explore it myself. I mean, that's exciting, because, like, I've never heard of that. So that sounds exactly like something I would like. So tell me about your books. Do you have a certain area that you tend to write them on? I think I even saw one where you had a fantasy erotic, like a vampire story, right? What's kind of your thing that you like to write about?
We'll be back after a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure the man in your life grooms his carpets and his drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Have him clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch his confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and have him join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our special offer, go to manscaped.com and use code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, for the 20% off and free shipping. Have you ever been doing some oral pleasure and got some hairs in your mouth or your teeth? Well, Manscaped can help with that. Try being clean shaven for spring cleaning. After he uses Manscaped, you can say, let's get some busy with some spring fever in the bedroom. Try out Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It is an amazing trimmer that features two interchangeable heads, one for taking a little off the top and the new foil blade to go smooth. If you want to go smooth for spring cleaning, make sure you try out Manscaped products. Bring on those smooth skin, sexy slaps in the bedroom. And how do you do that? Use Manscaped products to shave clean down in your pubic area. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, all caps at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code RUIN at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in his pants, right? In your pants, if you're a man. Spring clean your groin area. Try smooth. Try it with Manscaped.
Well, I think the great thing about having erotica as your umbrella genre, if you like, means that you can write absolutely anything at all.
Yes.
Sci-fi, historical, you name it, you can write it. And as long as someone gets a shag.
That's right. That's the goal, right? Always a thing. It's always a thing you want to hear.
Yeah. And so I think that just really helps me as a writer, because quite often, because I've written non-erotic things as well, but I often struggle to find a point of reference, if you like. So the story might just not quite reach a conclusion. But the thing with erotica is it's always going to reach a conclusion.
It's true.
Like there's always, you know, the goal is some sort of release. Okay. Well, not always. We know not always, but, you know, and I think that writing characters through an erotic lens really cuts through so much. And I feel like you get to know your characters more than you would in any other genre, just because your sexuality, your sensuality, your the way that you communicate physically and spiritually, like it's such a deep character exploration, I feel. And so I really love it for that. And I just feel like you can explore anything with a wee sensual side. I've got a trilogy. It's a dystopian trilogy where basically the world is dying, and you know, there's a terrible thing that's happening. And
yeah,
but and it's all quite steampunky as well. But that was like, you're exploring quite tragic themes at times, but you can always lift it with erotica. It's almost easier to digest, if you like.
Yeah. And sex is always underlying, even in that kind of situation. It's not like your desires or your needs go away.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In fact, they could even be heightened, you know, like, oh, we've only got a little bit of time left.
Right. And that sort of makes it a little bit delicious, don't you think? Like, you give yourself, the characters can give themselves a little bit of liberty, be like, oh, well, if we're going to die, we might as well fuck.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. What else is there right now?
It's kind of like that forced situation. Like I love that kind of situation in a story or a book where you're like, you're stuck in a house, or you're snowed in, or you're kind of forced to be together, and all the crazy, sexy things that can happen. And that's kind of that scenario as well, except it's the entire world. But, you know, it just makes it kind of delicious.
Yeah, you're definitely right there. The tantalizing look as you just look over there and you're stuck there and it's a big snowdrift outside. What else is there to do? And you hold off. And then you might be playing a game of cards and your fingers touch over the deck. Oh my God.
Absolutely. Boom. You got an erotic scene.
Yeah.
And what you were saying earlier about getting to know characters more in the erotica genre, I think that's so true, because you're delving into their deepest personal selves, their sexual selves and their sexuality.
I think that is one of the key features of why I'm drawn to erotica. And I think a lot of it's to do with, you know, when you're knowing yourself and growing up into this person you're going to be. And a lot of it is tangled up in your sort of sexual connections with other people and yourself. Like, you know, if you're fancying someone and when you're a teenager, like, it's all consuming. It's utterly mm-hmm. all consuming. And your love affairs shape who you are. They shape, if it was a bad experience, it shapes how you then interact with the next experience. If it was a great experience, you know, it's, I think that there's so much more to your erotic experiences than we give people credit for.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
Yeah, and I think it's often quite an overlooked thing as well.
And undervalued. I think it's undervalued.
Yeah, undervalued, especially like romance, the romance genres and things. I mean, they're wonderful and they're so hopeful. So some of them aren't hopeful, of course, because, you know, but they're so hopeful and full of joy. And I just think that personal exploration, I think it's such a deep exploration that you can have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, whether we're sexually active or sexually thoughtful or not, it's still something that will cross everyone's mind at some point or another.
Absolutely. Yeah. And different rates and frequencies for different people, but it will pop up at some point.
At some point, something will happen. It's like sex and death and birth and rock and roll.
Right. There's so much fun to be had. And there's so many different ways to have the fun with erotica. Like we were saying earlier, film, reading, audiobooks, just so much that it's just this great big world that everybody needs to go and spend some time in and enjoy.
Yeah. Do you like writing erotica, or do you like reading better, like, or listening to, like, do you like consuming it or creating it?
Oh, gosh, I think that I spend way more time creating it because I have so many ideas. I love to listen to it and read it. But I think I definitely just spend more time creating because I have so many ideas. And I have this big giant list. And I'm like, I haven't even started on the tip of the iceberg of my ideas. So I love to read, so I'm always reading and I am listening to audiobooks. But me wanting to create kind of, it curbs that a little bit for me, which is, I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what happens to me, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, you get such a buzz from creating, don't you?
Oh, like, yeah.
I always remember my writer friend, Katie Grace. She's like, the act of creating is like a sensual act for her.
Mm.
Like, and her writing's absolutely wonderful. It's absolutely glorious. And so sensual and earthy and sexy and hot. And oh my God. And you can tell that she's been having the best time ever when she's been writing. I think that's what I love most of all. Like if I'm writing, the thing that gets me most excited after I've had a writing session is if I come to after stop, you know, my fingers stop and I come to and all I see on Word is big red spelling errors and grammar errors and
right.
Like that makes me go, oh good, I was lost in something there. I'll be able to pull something out of this. If I am super aware of what I'm writing and deleting and checking and, you know, as I go, I know that that's going to be quite forced and it's going to be quite a difficult passage to then get sensation from, if you like. So
yes.
I always feel, I always tell my writers, like, just let go. Who cares what you get on the page after? Who cares? Like, just get lost in the moment. And your readers will feel it. The readers will feel that.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like you go into a zone. And that makes me think of people, some writers who actually like to write with like, maybe like a buzz. You know, because it helps them fall into that zone and not think about all this other shit of life. And it can just kind of like, you know, mellow that out and help them focus and just go crazy with that, you know, and like you said, just get it out there. You can edit as much as you want after.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Who was it? I never know who said this quote, but I do like it. You can't edit an empty page. So
right.
I don't know who wrote that, but I do love it when, I mean, obviously it's a pain. Like if I could get into that zone and write perfectly with no grammatical errors and perfect spelling, that would be the ultimate achievement. But at the moment, that's not happening. So if I do see that it's looking a bit wonky, I know that I've got something, you know, that's good in there.
Yeah,
or at least a turn on, you know.
You know, you're focusing on the right thing. You're focusing on the story and not, you know, oh, I put T-O instead of T-O-O, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, that's just awesome. Well, I would also love to know, I saw on your website that you have a story in Cosmopolitan.
Oh, yes. That's my story called The Artist. And so I actually really love that story. It's about, I had a real obsession with the artist and muse dynamic, like to be studied so, you know, so analytically and so without passion, or with passion, but so passionless, because you're like basically being analytically studied as if you were an object. And What would that feel like if you were burning for that person, if the artist was everything to you, but you were just an object to them? I just found it an utterly fascinating dynamic. And so that was the piece that got selected for the Cosmopolitan, was that one.
Nice. Around.
Yeah. It's quite romantic in the end, but, you know, but kind of heartbreakingly not at the same time. So it's about, you know, this woman who just burns. She gets summoned every now and then to the studio every few months, which I don't know when it is. And then she just burns on the end of his paintbrush.
It's very interesting. Is it more of a romance then, or is
no,
it erotica? No,
it's erotica. It's erotica. I mean, there's always a tinge of romance in my work. The tinge, sure. or a tinge of wanting romance. There's always a want there. Not, I wouldn't say romantic, but yeah. I quite like it when there's some sort of romantic conclusion either way, whether it's a good one or a bad one, or, you know,
right.
I quite like some sort of conclusion.
That's kind of what I like about erotica too. There's such a wide array of what you can do. I mean, you could just, you know, be all sex, more like a smut, or there's erotica, there's erotic romance. There's just this great gradient of different types of potential for erotica. It's quite fascinating to me. And I kind of enjoy writing across the board, all the different levels of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wonderful genre. So undervalued, like you say.
It is. And then we've got the whole thing, like we said earlier, that we cannot pay for advertisement, which I think is bullshit, because here you're going to sell our work on Amazon, but we don't get to advertise it.
Yeah,
I think that's such a hypocritical thing, because you know what? They can target it towards people's age. They can target it toward people who only buy that kind of a genre. Why not let us advertise to people that are buying that content?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just giving the people the adult choice for being like actual thinking adults and feeling like they can be responsible for their reading choices. Thank you very much. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
It's a funny old situation we find ourselves in, isn't it?
It is. And it's that whole censorship thing. But what just bugs me is like, yeah, we'll sell your work, but you don't get to buy any ads. But we'll sell it. And we'll make money on it.
I know. It's so strange. I'd love to crack that.
I know. Why?
Wouldn't we all love to crack that? Tell you what. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But at least we have the internet, and there's so many different places popping up that are, we can create and distribute and sort of advertise. And So that's a good thing. At least we have that.
Yeah. And we've got, you know, and also erotica and romance readers are, you know, they're an absolutely brilliant bunch, and they're very loyal to their genre and their authors, and there really are real champions of the work. So that's also another good thing. We don't want to disappoint the readers. We want to make sure that we keep producing and don't get beaten down by these censorships.
That's so true. Yes.
That we keep going.
And we support each other. Like the erotica writing community on Twitter is just fantastic. I mean, there's hordes of people. It's amazing. Like, I'm in the non-erotic writing community too, and it's nowhere near the level of amazingness that is in the erotica writing community on Twitter. It's not even close.
I know, it's incredible. And then when you go into different fields of not even writing, but other fields of, say, your work or just society, you see people talking about things like, no, that's my competitor. And you're like, what? And in the erotic world, no, that's my colleague. It's funny.
Yes.
It's like we all try and lift each other up in the erotic writing community. Like, and we're always like boosting each other and go, oh, good for you. You won this. Oh, great for you. Oh, you'd be good at this. Oh, you'd be good at that.
Yes.
Whereas I find it really strange when I go into other fields and they talk about competitors and you're like, oh, that's like the norm. My goodness, what a privileged niche we have to be in this field where everyone just so supportive.
Yeah, it's just utterly amazing. And it never ceases to amaze me. I'll see someone being just so uplifting or sharing something or just really, you know, championing. How do you say that? Championing. That's a hard word to say. Championing someone else who's in the erotica writing community. I just love that. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. Love it.
I do too. Now, when did you start writing erotica? Did you have you done it most of your life? Did you write it as a child? Or is it something that you kind of just fell into in your adult life?
Well, I always liked drawing nudes and going to life drawing classes. And something about when I was on my own and then drawing boobs and things, you know, sort of get turned on. And I'd written some non-erotic stuff. I'd written a non-erotic novel and things like that. And one of my friends, I'd said, oh, you know, I'm such a slow typer. It's really rubbish. I really need to get faster so I can keep up with my thoughts when I'm writing. Mm. And he said, I'll just write a porno and then you'll learn how to type. He said, that's what I did. I just wrote loads of sex and that made my fingers faster. So I was like, oh, I'll give that a try. And right enough, sure enough, I was like, okay, here we go. And I started writing. It was basically like just sex words, sex scenes, sex, you know, anything to do with sex, cocks, cuds, everything, you know. And then giving yourself permission to write the naughty words. Oh, I'm allowed
Am
I allowed to write fucking? And then once you let go and then I found that not only did it improve my typing, I really enjoyed it. And I thought that I was quite good at it. And that was confirmed when I sent off my first story and got picked up. So I then just thought, well, this is clearly my genre. Like because I really do struggle to write. And I can write in other genres, but like I said, there's always something just missing a tiny bit.
Sure.
Something. So, yeah. So that's how I got into it. And that was, over a decade ago now, I sent off my first story. I think it was 2010. And that got picked up. And then everything that I wrote subsequently in the erotic genre got picked up. Everything that I wrote that wasn't erotic just flopped, just didn't get anywhere with. So I sort of went, oh, okay, so that's a sign.
Right.
I need to write about sex.
Yeah, what's growing, you kept going with what was growing and what was working. And I think that's obviously a smart thing to do. You gotta get your snowball effect going on. If you're doing well in something, keep going, you know.
So what brought you to it?
Well, I guess I've always wanted to write it, but I initially started writing, I've written my whole life actually, but when I was starting to get serious about writing novels, I wrote romance. I wrote young adult romance. And so for me, it wasn't much of a leap to go from that to, I mean, romance is the prelude to sex often. So for me, it wasn't much of a leap to go from that to writing about actual sex.
Mm-hmm.
it was just a natural progression to me. And once I gave myself permission to say, you know, like you said, I can write fuck words and I can write whatever the fuck I want. It was just very freeing and open. And I just really, I started it on a whim. I'm like, I'm just going to freaking try this, you know? And I actually started with my Twitter account. That was my first thing into foray into erotica. And it just kept growing and growing. And I'm like, wow, okay, I'm just going to keep going with this. So it's grown from that. And that was my starting point, was actually Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Good. Twitter's good. I like it.
Twitter is fun. And they're not as, you know, censoring as other platforms. So it's very nice. It is a spot for erotic authors to be for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are other sites too. Like I'm on ShareSome, but that's very, there's an awful lot of porn clips on there. So it's very, have you ever heard of that one?
Which one?
ShareSome?
No.
Oh, maybe you could put your stuff on there too. There's a lot of naked people on there. I'm not naked on there, but, but I put ShareSome. I put all of my erotica in my podcast links and stuff, and I do get some interaction, not a ton, but you know, hey, everywhere you can be is somewhere someone might find you. So,
sorry, that was my phone. Oh my goodness. Yes. I've never seen that before. Sorry about that with my phone.
Oh no, that's okay.
Just switch that off. Yeah. No, I will have a look onto that. I didn't even know about that. There's so many things that I just keep discovering. And then there comes a point where you have to think, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to I have to try and concentrate and maybe doing a couple of things well. And it's difficult when you see everyone else like doing all the things.
But you do a lot of things though. My goodness, you've done a ton. You've done amazing.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but I don't go on my Twitter every day and I don't go on my Instagram every day and I don't go on my Facebook every day. And then I feel like I'm catching up to get everyone's news. And especially if you've been tagged, which is great. And you're like, oh, I've been tagged. That's amazing. And then if it's like a multiple tag, which has been happening recently with a really cool thing that you were sharing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like lost. And I'm like,
I know. It can be kind of overwhelming.
Which is a lovely place to be, lost. But, you know, and then, you know, sometimes then if you haven't been on, like, say, Instagram for a while and then you tentatively put a picture up and then maybe three people like it and they're like your sister and your neighbor.
Right. They're like, dang, that was a waste of time, right?
You're like, oh, I got the sympathy like from my sister, my best friend, oh dear. And then other times you're on a roll and people are interacting, you're chatting to people and you're making new connections and everything's great. So it is, you have to have quite a strong constitution for the ups and downs being a writer, don't you?
You do. You absolutely do. And social media is its own monster with all their algorithms. You know, it's a battle. It's a constant battle. And yeah, because I do it both on under my real name and under my pen name of Rune Willow. I don't even know. I can't even touch all of them all the time, but I probably have like 35 social media accounts. I wouldn't doubt. I may even have more between both names. I mean, it's just, and then I have my website under my real name and then I have a website under Rune Willow. It's just, it's so much and you just do your best. And there are times I find I focus on one thing more than another. Like you said, you're not doing as many blog posts or stories on your website. I'm kind of in that same spot right now where I used to write all the time. And now I haven't, I'm just not doing as many stories for my website because I'm doing so many other things. And so kind of like rolling around doing different things. And like we said, you know, when something's going well, you kind of keep going down that path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're very prolific, especially with your podcasts. I was scrolling and I was like, oh, there's hundreds of these. This is amazing. Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked that I think my next episode will be 105, which really shocks me that I'm coming up on my year anniversary in January and I'm over 100 already. Like that's
That's very good going. Congratulations for that, really.
Yeah, and I've been so excited. It's done so well. Mm. Like, I've reached 187 countries with my podcast worldwide. 187.
Incredible.
And I rank. Thank you. And I get this email from Podstatus. He's a dude that does this little service. And he will, since I have so many things going on, he will email me what my ranks are for my podcast. And it's so exciting to me to see. Like today, I got the email this morning. My podcast yesterday ranked in 17 countries.
Wow.
I mean, that just blows my mind when I think about people. 17 countries. That's kick ass. I'm like so excited.
That is so kick ass. Go you. Congratulations.
It's very exciting.
It's very inspiring as well. So, you it know, you're doing a great job and lifting people along as you go as well. It's so brilliant.
Oh, yes. It's so much fun. I love talking to like you and writers and people who are like sexuality experts. And it's just so much fun. I just absolutely love it. It's just so fun to talk to other people and what they do and how they do it. And it's just really fun to interact.
Yeah, really, really well done. And managing to fit in your writing at the same time and your recording and your ebooks and damn.
Like so I said before, I'm a little hyper.
Yeah.
Hyper's good though. I've got getting a lot of content out there.
Yeah, very good. Very good. I know I'm just going to have to cut my sleeping hours in half and then I might get more than one blog post out in a month.
It's hard to do everything. You just do as much as you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where else can readers connect with you online? Have we missed any of your spots that you have things?
So, no, I think you've managed to cover absolutely everything. I think I'm most chatty on Twitter, but I'm being more interactive over on Instagram. I do a little Instagram live that I'm trying to resurrect. I had an accident in July and that kind of stopped all of my things that I've been building up. And it was one of them is Saucy Writers on Instagram, which I really loved. So I'll have to get you on that, Rune, if you're on it. I don't know if you're maybe not. You're on Instagram.
I am on Instagram. Yeah. I've never heard of that, but yeah, I have three accounts on Instagram because they would keep like freezing my account or threatening to shut it down. So then I'd make a new one. So now I have three.
Okay.
What are people doing to me? Now I have three accounts. And if I shut one down, then I might lose those people that I have. They're not all the same exact people across the three accounts. So I keep them all going.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of us in that actually in that situation. Because like you say, they just shut you down without much of a warning. And I don't even know if you can then pull your content off there or if it's completely gone. So I think you have to kind of back it up every now and then just to make sure that all that time you've spent, because it takes a lot of time to do all that. So
that whole losing the YouTube thing just killed me, because I mean I had 50,000 hours of listening. I don't remember. Is that how it was? I don't remember how they categorized it, but my goal was to get to 100,000 because then you could start to monetize. Well, then nope. Didn't happen.
Damn,
just slap you down. Nope. Sorry. You're out.
Yeah. It's hard to do. Yeah. You've managed to pick yourself up and make it work another way, which is brilliant, but it does hurt. It does sting, doesn't it?
It does. And I'm like, well, why? You liked me for a year and a half. What happened? Oh, well, whatever. Screw them. I'm moving on, right?
Yeah. Up there.
Now, I got to ask you another question about your writing process. What's your favorite part? Do you like to like create the characters first, or do you think of the idea or a scene, or what's your like usual starting point?
Oh my, wow. For my, like if I'm writing for stories for the films, I'll start with the sex and how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm writing my book, it's the characters I'm mainly interested in and what drives them. Like I'm just narrating just now this book that I wrote called Her Stern Gentleman, which is a historical romance about this. And I just had this vision, this feeling of this woman who felt like she was reptilian because she was cold from the inside out and nothing reached her. And basically, and her husband was such a kind gentleman and he's a baker. And she would listen to him kneading the dough. And basically what she wanted was to be slapped, like the dough was slapped, you know, flung around, but she couldn't express it. So it's about, it's a way, sort of an awakening. And I just wanted to, I really felt this coldness. This woman had this internal coldness. And I just really wanted to explore that and figure out why was she so cold? What was going on? And it just happened to be in this quite, in a setting, I think it was in the 50s and, and it's set on an ocean liner, so it's definitely, I get a feeling about a character and what their problem is, if you like, and how they either overcome something or they're searching for something, they're figuring something out about themselves, and it's always the figuring out is to do with their sexuality and their sensuality and how they experience the world through sex and connections with other people via sex. So
right.
Yeah, definitely the sex.
Oh, that is that whole scenario that you just said is just very sensual and intriguing to me. That's just very interesting. And it's the whole, your whole setup to that is also very unique. You know, like that's very cool.
Oh, thanks. What do you go for?
I've done different things. It kind of just, if I get gripped by an idea, I guess I've done different things. Sometimes it's a scenario that sparks it, like an idea of sex or like a sexual experience. Sometimes it's, I think of characters and I start there, but I'm more of a person, I don't need like a huge outline, but I still like a little bit of an outline. So I may do some panting, but I kind of still have that sort of skeleton outline. And I may not know the entire outline when I start, but as I'm going, I create that. But you know, and I'm kind of, I like to create a notebook. I actually use an actual notebook of paper, and I will write for each book that I do. And I will write down things like about the characters, what they look like. It's like each character might have a page. And so I don't just use my computer. I also will use a notebook too. So, which is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of unusual maybe in the digital age, but I like to do it. So then everything with that book can go in that notebook that I need to write down and not actually have in the book. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and also for like backstory that you may not actually include in the story, mm-hmm. but you need that for that character or that situation or that story, and put it there.
So intriguing, isn't it? I love it other is. People's writing process. What have you got a snack that you have when you write?
Oh, yes, I guess I do. I like cheese and crackers. And I like, lately I've been really into these dark chocolate blueberries. They're just like amazing. Ooh. So it's like a blueberry and then it's like encased in dark chocolate. It just tastes absolutely amazing. And it's kind of like got some fruit in there. So
oh, it's perfect.
I know, right? Of course, I love coffee. I love wine. Yeah, you know, sometimes I'll do popcorn. But what I find hard is that snacking while doing audiobooks doesn't work editing, because then I don't hear those things. I miss things because I'm chewing. I'm like, yeah. I can't. No snacking during editing of audio.
Yeah. Well, when I'm writing a novel, I have to have Dutch salty licorice, and I don't really have it any other time. But it's something that I've been thinking I need to find again, because I've got this novel that I'm been trying to write for ages, and it just occurred to me the other day, I've not got my licorice. So that's probably why my body isn't going, no, we're not writing a novel. You need to get that, get those salty sweets down here, and then we can start writing. So I think it's like the alarm bell to get me into the mood.
I love that. You have like an oral taste trigger.
Yeah, exactly. It's my taste trigger.
That's very sensual too. That's cool. You know, and I forgot to ask you my icebreaker question. I have an icebreaker question. I can't believe I didn't ask it.
Okay.
So this is what I usually ask every guest that I have on my, I can't believe I forgot to do that. What is your favorite sexual position? And I'm definitely not going to be offended if you tell me why you like that position.
Favorite sexual position. Well, that's really weird. I can't think of it. That's really weird. I guess it's just a riding position, riding, grinding, whether that's on a person, on a pillow, on a sex toy, on anything. On, yeah, it must be the grinding. On a face, yeah, come on.
There you go. Yeah, I actually was, when I was first, you know, going into the foray of my sexuality as a child too, I was a grinder too. But my story is kind of sad why I became a grinder. Because I told my mom, I was very young and I was very excited. I came to her one day and I said, "Mom, when I touch between my legs, I feel so good." I was so excited. I was so innocent. And she looked at me and said, "You should not be doing that." So I was shamed as a young child. I'm not supposed to touch my pussy. So I became a massive grinder. Mm-hmm. And because then I wasn't touching my pussy, I was grinding. Mm-hmm. And I was getting off that way. So to me, it's kind of a sad story, but I'm sure all of us have something like that in the past that sort of shaped our young sexuality. And it wasn't a bad thing because grinding is great, as we were talking about.
I know, but it's just, it's a sad thing that we can't be open about. You know, in age appropriate, you know, that feels nice. It doesn't mean it's sexual at that age. It's like, and so, yeah, it's really sad. That's where this education, openness and being able to discuss things. That is sad.
It is sad. And then, you know, it really shut me down. And I think it kind of like shamed me where like, that's bad. You know, I shouldn't be doing that. She told me that that's wrong. And so, and you know, I hear stories like that from other people too. And it makes me sad because one little sentence from one key person in your life can affect you the rest of your life or shape your sexuality at such a young age. Mm-hmm. Damage can be done with one sentence.
Exactly.
And that's, especially coming from your mother, my mom was a wonderful person. She was very supportive. She was a wonderful mom, but not in that way.
It's you so know? Funny, isn't it? Yeah. It's so funny. It's just I think it's just being told it's shameful through the generations, you know, and it's hopefully that future, it doesn't happen, future generations. Hopefully we'll be a bit more nuanced with how we approach these things, and just the body shaming thing in particular. I think we're getting better at it.
Yes.
Conversely, weirdly puritanical in the censorship plane, but hopefully a bit more sensitive in other ways to how people explore their bodies and express themselves and are as people. I think hopefully we're getting there.
I think we are. I think it's getting, you know, it's kind of a slow process, but I do feel like it's a lot better than it used to be. So we are slowly getting better. It's just, kind of a too slow of a process for most of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I have really enjoyed our talk. Is there anything else that, I mean, I think I could sit here and talk with you for like hours.
Well,
we can't do that, obviously.
I do love a natter. I do love a chat. I love hearing about the way people's processes. I really do. And I hope that we can chat again. And I hope that maybe we can do a wee bit of work together. And
yeah, I'd love that.
And listen to your stories. I'm getting wrapped in your voice. Lovely. I've got a question for you.
Sorry,
you can cut all these, you know, little bits if you don't want to have them. But anyway, I want to know, do you do different accents with your, when you do your work?
I have. I've done that a little bit. I have a woman that I've done a lot of books for. She writes in, I don't know if you've heard of the fetish of macrophilia and microphilia.
No,
where people grow and shrink in sexual situations.
Oh,
Oh my gosh. It's just kind of blown my mind, but she writes extensively in this, and I've done quite a few books for her, and a couple of her books I've done some accents in for her stories. Like she'll take 10 of her stories and make a collection, a book, and publish it on Amazon. And then she will, my name is Amber Collins, and she's in the United States, and then she'll put it up for on ACX. And so I've done some of her work there. And so I've done like a German accent sort of, and I've tried different accents. It's kind of new to me, 'cause like I said, I've only been doing this since, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe April. But I have a lot more voices than I realized I did. Like I didn't, this is something that I did. I'm still kind of shocked that I do this, 'cause I didn't know I had a talent for audio work. And it all grew again from Twitter, but I can do more voices than I realized. And I am finding more and more what I can do. I mean, I can do a child. I can do sort of can do a man. I'm not like awesome at it, but I can do I didn't realize I had this kind of an ability or range, and it's been really fun exploring it. I've tried doing an English accent a little bit. I've tried Portuguese once. The challenge. I've done a little bit of Southern United States. So a little bit I have. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice though, because you always hear this from people, oh, I hate the sound of my own voice. And I really, really hate the sound of my own voice.
Okay. You
really,
too?
Couldn't stand it.
So I love your voice.
Oh, thank you. But when I then, it was actually Girl on the Net had said, oh, do you want to record some audio? And I said, oh, it sounds disgusting. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then I tried it and I didn't die when I listened back to it, because I thought I would just die. And I didn't die. I lived.
Good sign.
And then thought, you know, just I need to get over myself. It's not horrible. It's actually okay. And now I can't believe that I sit and listen to my own voice for hours on end editing it. And
I know, right?
I can't believe it. And then actually, you don't really even hear it as you anymore somehow.
Yes.
It's so interesting.
Because I'm doing the same thing. I'm like constantly listening to myself in audiobooks, in the podcast, and it's very, very interesting process. And it's become so natural to me because I've done so many editing of audio. I mean, this is my 105th podcast. I mean, that's a lot of audio editing.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It takes a damn long time too sometimes. It's all worth it. And I love creating it and creating an experience and a story and, you know, adding in special things like moans and those kinds of sounds as well are very fun to me.
Yeah, really fun. I once cut all me going breathing and put it into one file. So there's a file out there.
Yes. Going, I love it.
It's really weird.
It is weird, but I have the same thing. I have like a moaning file. I have a giggling file. And I'm like, you can go in and mine those sounds out and put them in places. And
yeah, really good.
Oh, and I have a mentor that kind of helped me get into this. And he said, leave your breaths in, because people want to hear that in erotica. They want to hear you breathe.
Mm. Well, I edited out a lot of my breathing. And when I first started, because it seemed like excessive, I'm like, come on, nobody breathes that much. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So I did edit out quite a lot. And then now I think I've managed to control my breath a bit better.
Yes. And I think that does happen with time too. When you first start, and it's something that you learn. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's kind of fun talking to you, because we both do that. It's like interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, it's very cool. Well, is there anything else you want to touch on or mention that we haven't yet?
No, I think we managed to cover quite a lot.
We have. We've talked even longer than I expected, so that's fun. But yes, but I want to thank you so much. I really enjoyed this, and I would love to talk to you again anytime on the podcast. Just anytime. It was really fun. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Well, likewise. That was so nice.
Well, thank you so much, and you have an amazing day.
You too, and thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for being on. It was lovely to meet you. It was fun.
All right. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ready for some spring cleaning of your beard and groin hairs? Try out Manscaped products, where you can get 20% off with my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, to get 20% off and free shipping. In order to get the discount, use the promo code RUIN, R-U-A-N, to do that spring cleaning you get yourself ready for sexy times. Heat up your spring with a new shave, a new trim. Perhaps try going bare. Get more skin smacks in the bedroom, if you know what I mean.